Hello and welcome to Mercer's Impact Podcast. My name is Angelika Dillon and I have the pleasure to introduce you my interview partner for today. I'm very glad to have Charlie Gleisner with me today. Charlie is very well known in the impact scene, so I don't think that there is an introduction necessary. However, I'm going to briefly introduce Charlie. He's the co-founder of Tonic and the Felicitas Foundation and chairman of the board for Impact Assets. So welcome, Charlie, to our podcast on impact. I'm very happy to have you with me. So maybe you can briefly introduce yourself and tell us how you got to impact.
Well, thank you so much, Angelika, for inviting me to this podcast. I'm very excited about our conversation and about the topics that we're going to deal with in the next 10, 15 minutes. So my background is that I'm from Innsbruck, Austria, and I have a PhD in computer science from the Technical University in Vienna, and decided to immigrate to Silicon Valley in 1986, first with Hewlett-Packard, and then I was privileged to work at three very successful startups. The first one, a company called Next, which was the company that Steve Jobs founded after he was kicked out of Apple. And I was in charge of developing the operating system at Next, and that became Apple's main operating system when Steve took over Apple in the late 90s. The second startup that I worked at was Datamine, and we sold that company successfully to Epiphany at the time for about $400 million. And that company did artificial intelligence. And my masterpiece, so to speak, in the Valley was Ariba, a business-to-business e-commerce company that SAP bought for 5 billion euros or almost 5 billion euros in 2012. And that one is still the biggest B2B commercial transaction network on the planet. And I sold, so obviously I got shares from all these companies and sold them successfully, diversified my shareholdings before the crash in 2001. And that created the wealth that our family has, since then. And posed the question to my wife, Lisa, and I of the meaning of wealth. And we agreed, fortunately, that we have a personal responsibility of using our wealth to make the planet and humanity better. And we're also convinced as systemic thinkers that the major systems of our planet were not aligned in the direction of sustainability and regeneration. And what has to happen for a good survival and thriving of humanity. And the way that we started out, just to wrap things up with this question, is we first supported social entrepreneurs. And then as we figured out that a lot of social entrepreneurs actually are not changing the systems, we added changing the system to what we cared about. And most recently, we realized that you cannot really change the system unless you have an elevated awareness and consciousness that that's necessary to do. And maybe we can talk about that later in our discussion.
Thank you, Charlie. And when we have a look, and you mentioned the system, when you look onto the financial markets, since the launch or the development of the Sustainable Development Goals, besides sustainability, we have another term in the financial market. It's called impact. And the impact definition, it's also a very interesting part, what people understand, what impact is for them. So my question is, what does impact mean for you?
That's a good question, Angelika. And to me, it really means making a positive contribution to the planet and to humanity. And there is an official definition that most practitioners use that was articulated first by the GIIN, the Global Impact Investing Network. And they define impact along four lines, that it's an approach, not an asset class, an approach across a whole portfolio. It's intentional and not accidental. And it needs to include ecological and social impact as importantly as financial return, and that impact needs to be managed. I think I would add to that we need to include the beneficiaries, all the stakeholders in order to make it really work. That's also important to realize that every investment has positive and negative impacts. And what we are about is transparency, to find out as much as possible about both positive and negative impacts, and maximizing the positive and minimizing the negative over time. So we monitor the net impact, so to speak, over time. And for me, maybe another thought is impact has become quite personal over the years, where it also includes not just what we invest in, but our lifestyles and our consumer choices, and all the way to my own mindfulness work and personal transformation and consciousness. So I take a holistic view of impact with my life that includes everything that we influence and own.
I agree also with you that when I started to look at impact and, you know, screening the market and looking for sparring partner, and in the these recent months, or actually last year, I also found out that especially the financial market, that you see plenty of impact related investments, and they are primarily focused on the positive outcomes. So for me, I think and for us as well, we need to put a highlight on the positive and negative impact our investments have, and especially when we're talking about transformation, to understand the entire company we're investing in or the project, so that there is, as you say, a kind of holistic approach. And we discussed this a few years already ago. And I think what's also very important or interesting for me is you mentioned, you know, the next step of impact, which is deep impact. And I would like to ask you, what does deep impact mean? And what is the difference to impact?
Yes, thank you for that as well. So about 4 years ago, I gave a keynote at an impact investing conference in Seoul, or near Seoul in South Korea. And I started speaking about the impact. And the reason I did that was because I saw that the so-called ESG train was taking off. And ESG, as you know, stands for environmental, social, and governance. And I saw that it would be necessary to differentiate between deeper impact and more shallow impact, if you wish. And I was inspired by Arne Naess, a Norwegian, who coined the terminology deep ecology and differentiated deep ecology from ecology. That deep ecology was a non-anthropocentric and non-human-centric way of looking at the ecology. And that spoke to me, because I think that ultimately, you know, we put humanity at the center of the universe, that is a mistake, because it implicitly gives us the permission to, quote unquote, control nature and not really be part of it and feel part of it. And so that's what spoke to me. And the second part of the definition of deep is actually that it's systemic in nature. So meaning that it does not just deal with the symptoms of the crisis, microsystemic crisis that we're in, but with the root causes of them. And that's why it's so important that we also think about changing finance as opposed to just financing change. Now, let me just also quickly say that ESG is not bad. Actually, it's much better than non-ESG, and it's absolutely necessary. It's just not good enough if good enough means making a difference with respect to systemic issues of our times, like making a big difference with respect to social injustice, inequality, and runaway climate change. Even if all the money in the world would flow into ESG, over 100 trillion, then these problems would actually increase and not decrease. And that's why we need to go beyond ESG, right? In 100% portfolio, ESG has its place. And part of the portfolio, if the intention of the investor is to go deeper, should be allocated to do just that. And this is now an emerging, a small emerging type of, I would not say movement yet, but certainly more and more people are asking the question about impact washing. And some ESG products certainly are not transparent enough to know and to judge if they're impact washing or not, because they're not transparent. And if you actually look at the rating agency, a single company might be rated very differently on these scores. And so that's why I think it's wise to differentiate between ESG and deeper impact and move forward in making sure that both are necessary in order to change finance.
No, I fully agree. And I think when we look at ESG, and that's maybe the main difference, ESG is helpful for an additional risk understanding in my portfolio. It's a kind of fundamental approach to understand apart from the financial risks, what additional risk I might have in my investment field. But the thing is that it's a kind of analysis. And when we're talking about impact, you have a target to create impact. So I agree fully with you that we see, and especially since the SDGs, that we have a lot of financial products are promoting SDGs and impact. And you have really to have a deeper look into the funds to understand, are they really creating an impact? And I think, you know, impact measurement itself, we might have another podcast on impact measurement. Otherwise, we will take too much time. When we look at the financial market, and you already said it, that the challenge or the threat is really the impact washing. But what do you see apart from the impact washing? And you already mentioned it's really, you know, the financing, the change, or change the system. Maybe a little bit to explore your thoughts on that, because the financial markets are really critical for the transformation. And I think we need to start here. We need to start the money, but we have to be very smart in the way how to support the transformation we need.
I could not agree more with you, Angelika, on that. And so let me share a couple of thoughts on what I think about changing finance is vis-a-vis finance change. So the threat, if you wish, is to hang on to old and wrong design choices of the financial system itself, like exponential growth ad infinitum. Right, a lot of the private equity industry and certainly the venture capital industry, you know, is built around this notion of exponential growth, and eventually it will have to taper off because it cannot cannot ad infinitum grow exponentially if you have limited resources to do that. And so, if we were to use different term sheets for impact that reward the impact investor with an adequate financial return, but then that's it. I think that's a very good investment. And as long as you're getting your return back and have the impact, that's much better than using resources that are non-regenerative in nature and are not sustainable in nature. So that's one. Another one is also to hang on to an old and wrong theory that's driving a lot of the financial industry, like it's called modern portfolio theory. And in what they call market rate returns, because market rate returns are based on benchmarks that are based on non-sustainable companies, right? So if I, to give you a concrete example, in our portfolio, if I have to compare my real asset sub-portfolio or asset classes or commodities and asset classes to a benchmark, then it is compared to a benchmark that pulls in extractives, that pulls in gold, that pulls in, oil and gas and what have you. And while I cannot invest in these commodities because of my values and what I invest in biodiversity and clean water and renewable timber and things of that nature. Yet I have to compare myself against these other benchmarks in order to prove that I'm better than market rate return. Now it happens that I was better than market rate returns, but it's the wrong benchmark for us, you know, impact investors. And so we need to fix that over time. And I'm glad that Mercer and big companies are, hopefully contributing to that by sharing some of the data in open source of mode that's not needed to differentiate your impact business, but that just contributes to making sure that the planet and people benefit from those. At that point in time, we could run artificial intelligence, algorithms over it if we had the right data sets that actually explicitly specify the impact that our investments have, and we could make progress on the postmodern portfolio theory that's necessary in order to move things forward, in my opinion.
Thank you. I think I agree. I think the data and the transparency is very key in order to understand who are the real impact investors or impact product providers. out there and to have an to be able to differentiate them among each other. When we look at the financial market, and you already mentioned some of the changes, and I agree, you know, that the change in the system is necessary. The understanding what impact really means, the understanding of negative and positive impact, and overall, you know, the target, which is key. If you're an impact investor, saying what is my target, what kind of impact I want to achieve. And when we're talking to impact investors, maybe instead of what will drive the change, what would your advice or as an experienced impact investor be if they're really interested in impact investing? What should they look after? Or what are you looking after when you are investing in your fund or looking for new investments? What is crucial for you?
Yeah, so I've gotten more in tune again with my technical background, and I started investing in the confluence, at the intersection, if you wish, of impact, technology, and consciousness, for the reasons that I mentioned before. I am a technologist, and I think technology is a very powerful tool, and it needs to be harnessed to serve humanity and not just itself, or to harm humanity, which right now there is quite a bit of that going on with respect to mass or individual manipulation using very subtle algorithms, you know, that are non-transparent, that are only there in order to maximize the profits of the investors in the big companies today. And so we do need to take that technology back and use blockchain, artificial intelligence, and tokenization of impact for impact. I also think that regulation is extremely important, and the EU is really at the forefront internationally in regulating, but it can also backfire if you regulate too much, or if you regulate without the transparency that we talked about before, then it could harm a little bit more than not. But I'm very encouraged by the Green Deal, and I'm encouraged by the Biden administration, which is working in the right direction for us impact investors. And maybe the last piece that I've talked about a little bit before that I think is crucial is our own consciousness, awareness, and mindfulness. I believe that the times are getting more turbulent, and they will become more turbulent because, as we spoke before, the systemic changes or the systemic design issues that we discussed are not going away anytime soon. And that means that COVID-24, 25, or whenever will happen again, unless we change something, that means that the social injustice will increase. And so it is up to us, all of us, individually and collectively, to actually say enough is enough. We know what to do. We know that we need to go to circularity, the regeneration. We know that we need to go to regionality and not so much efficiency, but resiliency. So we know the principles. So let's do it. Let's get politicians into the seat of our governments that actually care, that understand it. And so it's. I just want to end on that note that I think we can do it if we all demand it, and if we all see what's really going on and have the courage to call it out.
That were wonderful, final remarks for our session, impact and deep impact. I fully agree with you, Charlie. I think we cannot manage it alone. It's necessary that the large organizations, entrepreneurs, all financial institutions, that we all together join forces in order to understand what impact means, how important the systemic change is, and that we also need to understand the negative impact on our actions. So thank you very much for your contribution today. I hope that our listeners enjoyed our session when exploring impact and deep impact. And as Charlie mentioned, it's an invitation to open the discussion with us and help each other, especially when it comes to the SDGs, to achieve the goals. Because as Charlie said, it will not become better. We can just drive the change in order to help the transformation we all need to see on the market. So thank you very much, Charlie. It was a pleasure having you with me.
Thank you.